My dear friends in Christ, I would like to draw a lesson both from the epistle and gospel today, and we'll begin with the gospel, in which we have those very sad words at the beginning of the gospel that our Lord wept over the city of Jerusalem. As far as I can recall, there are only two times in Scripture where it mentions our Lord weeping. And these two are very different. We could say very different tears. The first time he wept was when his friend Lazarus had died. And our Lord went there, and Martha, the sister of Lazarus, came to our Lord and said, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died." And our Lord could see her grief, and he wept. And the Jews there said, "See how much he loved him, how much he loved Lazarus, that he would shed tears." So our Lord was not only divine, he also had a human nature, and thus he felt the pain of seeing what the sisters were going through, and that his dear friend Lazarus had died. But we could say that those were tender tears, those were good tears. Those were tears of affection. But in today's gospel, we read of an event that actually happened on Palm Sunday. And as our Lord was approaching the city and came over the hill, he looked down and saw before him the beautiful city of Jerusalem. He loved this city. And he wept over it for two reasons. First of all, because this city would be destroyed about 40 years later by a Roman army. And he goes on to give in detail what would happen, that thy enemies will surround thee on every side. The Roman army laid siege to the city so that no one could go in or out, and basically starved it into submission, and then finally broke through the wall, through the gates, and conquered the city. And it was terrible devastation. As our Lord said, they would not leave one stone upon another. The terrible devastation of the city. So he wept because he loved this city and because of what the people would suffer at that time. But more than that, his tears in weeping over the city were because of the hard-heartedness of the people. He knew that just 5 days later, on Good Friday, they would call out for his death. They would cry out, "Crucify him." And he knew already he was being rejected by them. He would go into the temple to preach, and the Pharisees would be challenging him and questioning him. And he knew of their hard-heartedness. And that is what especially drew these tears from our Lord's eyes, the rejection on the part of the people, because he loved them. And there's nothing more tragic than the loss of an immortal soul. So he was weeping for the people. In fact, we recall another occasion when our Lord was being led to Calvary that the women of Jerusalem were weeping over him. And he said to them, "Weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children." Again, meaning what would happen in the future. So we ought to reflect upon these tender tears of our divine Lord, the love of his Sacred Heart, and ask ourselves, have I caused him to shed tears? Or the way that I live, does it cause our Lord, would it cause him to shed tears over me and how I am living? Let us make certain that we are not responsible for causing those precious tears of our Lord, tears especially of pity on the part of these inhabitants who were rejecting him. In today's epistle, we have a very important lesson from St. Paul about temptation. We know that temptation is part and parcel of life in this world, in this veil of tears. And we know that our temptations come from three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world means that spirit in society of vanity, of rebellion against God, of worldliness, of materialism and greed and so forth. So that spirit tugs at us, tends to pull us away from God. So we have temptations that come from the world. We also have temptations that come from the flesh. which means our fallen human nature as a result of original sin. And we were speaking about that briefly last Sunday, how even though we were baptized, the concupiscence or the inclination to evil is not gone. And that, again, came with original sin. So we have that inclination to evil that we carry about with us in our human nature. And the third source of temptation, of course, is from the evil spirits who tempt us and try to get us to commit sin. So we know that we have temptations. We can't completely get away from them. But we can strengthen ourselves against temptation. We can and we must be vigilant, be on our guard against temptation. And, of course, we must fight the good fight. St. Paul here says, "May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to." And then he goes on to say, "God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength." If he did, he wouldn't be fair, wouldn't be just, nor would he be merciful. If he allowed us to be tempted beyond our ability to overcome it. And in fact, sin would not really be sin if we had no choice in the matter. If the temptation was so strong that it was impossible for us to overcome the temptation, then we wouldn't be responsible. But we know, and our conscience tells us, that we are responsible for sin. This is what was one of the terrible heresies, and really a blasphemy, on the part of Martin Luther, who said, "It is impossible to keep the commandments of God. You can't do it. No man can keep the commandments of God." Well, we know that God is just, and he would not tell us that we must live in a certain way if it were not possible to do that. And, of course, the key is God's grace. Man is weak, but God's grace strengthens us and enables us to overcome every temptation. There are saints, and not a small number of saints. And you read about this in their lives, and, of course, others for whom this is not known, where it states in the lives of these different saints that they always preserved their baptismal innocence, meaning that they never fell into serious sin. And even though that may be a small number in the large number of human race, nevertheless, it points out the truth that man is capable of living a life of grace with God's help, with the assistance of his grace. So St. Paul says, "God is faithful, will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. He will always give you sufficient grace to overcome the temptation. And if you are assaulted by a temptation which seems too great, then God inspires you to ask for more grace. And then he will always be there with his help." Yes, of ourselves, left to ourselves, we cannot overcome every temptation. Left to ourselves. But with God's help, we can do so. We must humbly turn to God in prayer and acknowledge, "I can't do this of myself. Dear God, I need your help. Dear Blessed Mother, pray for me. Intercede for me." So we must become men and women, boys and girls, of prayer. And one type of prayer that I would especially like to recommend to you is called ejaculations, the short prayers. Prayer books, the Rakulta, different books are full of these short prayers, maybe that have been indulgenced, such as "My Jesus, Mercy," "My Mother, My Confidence," and short little prayers like that. But we could also make up our own. You could take, for example, the invocations of the Litany of Our Lady individually to say, "Virgin most pure, pray for me. Virgin most faithful, pray for me," etc. You might choose several invocations of the Litany of Our Lady that appeal to you and learn them, develop the habit of praying them from time to time during the day, especially when tempted to say these ejaculations. Of course, one of the most powerful ejaculations is just to recite the holy names of Jesus and Mary. St. Alphonsus tells us that the devil trembles and flees when we call upon the names of Jesus and Mary. So the point here is we shouldn't confine our prayer life to those periods of what we call formal prayer, where we stop everything, we make the sign of the cross, we take out our prayer book or our rosary, and we pray. That's what I would call a period of formal prayer. But during the day, from time to time, as you're traveling, as you're, you know, preparing a meal, cleaning house, whatever, you can lift up your heart to God. You could say ejaculations or aspirations, as they are also called. So these are means of obtaining God's help. Without His help, we cannot overcome temptation. Saint Paul, in another epistle, actually, I believe it's in the other epistle to the Corinthians, but it's an epistle that we have shortly before Lent, like about 5 or 6 months ago we read it. And in that he says that he was given, after he talks about all of the trials that he underwent, all the tribulations to spread the gospel, and how he was shipwrecked and scourged and this and that. And then he goes on to say, to show that he was not proud and to remind himself of his nothingness, he said, I was given a thorn in my side, an angel of Satan, meaning a devil, to buffet me. And 3 times I prayed to our Lord to take it away. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So it was like St. Paul was being tempted. And isn't that consoling to know saints had temptations too? We tend to think of them as these supernatural beings that were different from us. But they were human beings made of flesh and blood and subject to discouragements and trials just like us. So here was the great St. Paul being tempted. And he prayed that the temptation would be taken away. And our Lord's answer was no. I'm not going to take it away. But what I will do is give you the strength to conquer it. And God says the same thing to us, that He will give us the grace if we do our part. Avoid unnecessary occasions of sin, receive the sacraments regularly, and live a prayer life. Especially turn to prayer when tempted. So to reread the words of today's epistle, and remember these, God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. He will also give you, along with the temptation, which God does not cause, God does not tempt us, but He permits temptations to come. Again, they come from the world, the flesh, and the devil, not from God. But He allows them. But He also will give us and does give us the grace to conquer if we do our part. Let us resolve always to turn to prayer with humility, asking God's help when we are tempted. And if we do so, we will always have the grace to conquer it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.